You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, February 13, 2025. Hit the lights. Utica Shale condensate production is up. Where's it going and how's it getting there? Published by Housley Carr. Wells operated by a half dozen E&Ps in eastern Ohio's Utica Shale are now churning out more than 100,000 barrels per day of superlight crude oil, aka condensate, more than twice as much as they were just 3 years ago. And there's talk that condensate production in the play's volatile oil window could increase significantly over the next few years. This surge in condensate output raises three relevant questions. 1. How is the condensate being transported to market? 2. Where is it headed? And 3. What is it being used for? In today's RBN blog, we continue our series on Utica condensate with a look at the approaches used to transport the commodity to refineries and others in the Midwest and points beyond. As we said in part 1, five counties in eastern Ohio have been generating fast increasing volumes of crude oil, almost all of it light condensate, with an API gravity at 55 to 59 degrees, and sometimes as high as 65 or even 70 degrees, but with a rising share of heavy condensate, API of 50 to 52, that is more like a superlight crude and therefore more desirable to some refiners. In November 2024, the latest data from EIA, Ohio produced a record 120,000 barrels per day, 140% more than in November 2021, with another 46,000 barrels per day produced in Pennsylvania and West Virginia. And the buzz among E&Ps and market watchers in the play is that Ohio production alone may well rocket past 150,000 barrels per day and even 175,000 barrels per day or 200,000 barrels per day over time. That optimism is reflected in the results of the January 30th initial public offering, or IPO, by Infinity Natural Resources, which valued the seven-year-old company at a heady $1.3 billion. Infinity, which has both condensate and natural gas-focused assets in the broader Marcellus Utica production area, ranked fourth among the six leading Utica condensate producers we discussed in Part 2, with Q3 2024 production averaging a modest 10,000 barrels per day. After Infinity's IPO, Reuters reported that the Canada Pension Plan Investment Board, or CPBIB, which holds a 98% ownership interest in Encino Acquisition Partners, or EAP, the largest condensate producer in Ohio, Q3 2024 production of 45,000 barrels per day, is studying the possibility of either selling its stake or initiating an EAP IPO that would value the E&P at more than $7 billion. CPBIB and Encino Energy, which owns the other 2% of EAP and oversees its operation, have declined comment. Also, EOG Resources, the third largest condensate producer in Ohio, and by far the largest Utica condensate player by market capitalization, has been talking up the potential of its Utica position, which the company has said is almost reminiscent of what we saw nearly a decade ago happening in the Permian's Delaware Basin. All of this has spotlighted a slice of the Marcellus Utica that had previously drawn less attention than some of the more prolific gas-producing counties. The Utica Shale's volatile oil window in eastern Ohio's Carroll, Columbiana, Guernsey, Harrison, and Noble counties. In today's blog, we'll shift our focus from the leading condensate producers in eastern Ohio to how their condensate is transported to market, who's buying it, and how it's being used. It would be best to start with the last of these because the uses of condensate help to explain who's buying it and where it needs to go. As we've said, condensate is a superlight crude oil. It generally has low sulfur content and can either be run as a feedstock at refineries, condensate splitters or pet chem plants, blended into heavier crude or, in a pinch, used as diluent, that is, blended into heavy bitumen crudes in Western Canada to reduce their viscosity and enable them to flow more easily through pipelines. Significant volumes of natural gasoline, the preferred diluent, are produced in Ohio fractionators and sent to Alberta. At a refinery, condensate typically would be run through a crude distillation unit or condensate fractionation unit, where it would undergo atmospheric distillation to separate the condensate into distillate, naphtha, light and heavy, and LPG, propane and butanes. The distillates and naphtha then would be run through a hydrotreater to remove impurities, after which the distillates would be processed into ultra-low sulfur diesel or jet fuel. Light naphtha would be used in gasoline blending or pet chem production, and heavy naphtha would be upgraded through reforming to make high-octane components for gasoline production. Heavier condensates also contain sizable volumes of vacuum gas oil, which can be upgraded to gasoline and diesel in FCCs and hydrocrackers. A condensate splitter uses atmospheric distillation to separate high API condensate into distillate, naphthas, and other light hydrocarbons. There are two condensate splitters in the area, one in Canton, Ohio, and the other in Catlettsburg, Kentucky. Their products are fed into the product stream at adjoining refineries. More on this later. Condensate also can be blended with heavier crude oils to produce desirable benchmark crudes such as heavy Louisiana sweet and Louisiana light sweet, or LLS, the latter of which is a low sulfur oil with an API gravity of about 38 degrees that generally sells at premium prices due to its lucrative fuel yields. See Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow for more on LLS. Finally, as we said, condensate, like natural gasoline, the heaviest of the NGL purity products, can be transported to Alberta for use as a diluent for bitumen produced in the oil sands, though natural gasoline is generally preferred for that use. Before we dive into the transportation of Utica shale condensate to market, we should point out two things. One is that a good bit of the condensate emerging from eastern Ohio wells needs to have its light ends, propane and butanes, removed. Some producers do this themselves at the well pad with heater treaters, and some turn to centralized condensate stabilizer sites, like MPLX's at Cadiz, Williams Companies at Skio, and Ergon Incorporated's at Marietta. A second thing to note is that there are no condensate gathering pipelines in the Utica. The volumes are too small, at least so far, to justify investments in them. Instead, condensate is stored at or near the wellhead and tank batteries, then loaded onto tanker trucks and driven either to the end user, typically a refinery or condensate splitter, or, more frequently, to the next mode of transport, a rail terminal, a marine terminal, or a pipeline intake point. In the early days of the shale revolution, pre-2014, the volumes of condensate being produced in eastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania and northern West Virginia were far smaller than today, averaging less than 60,000 barrels per day in 2013, compared to more than 160,000 barrels per day in the three-state region today. Back then, all of the condensate being produced was moved to market by tanker truck, rail tank car, and/or barge. By 2015, however, production was rising fast, with most of the volumes coming from eastern Ohio, and producers, marketers, and midstreamers were scrambling to find ways to handle it all. Trucking, railing, and barging alone simply wouldn't do, and they are more expensive than piping. That led to the development of the MPLX pipeline and storage network, which in addition to batching condensate also transports butanes and natural gasoline to a number of Midwest refineries. MPLX is a master limited partnership formed by Marathon Petroleum in 2012. The network works like this. Number 1. Condensate can be batched from Cadiz and Skio, Ohio through MPLX's Cornerstone Pipeline to East Sparta and Canton, Ohio, where Marathon has a 25,000 barrels per day condensate splitter and a 100,000 barrels per day refinery. Number 2. From East Sparta, condensate can be batched west via Heath and Harpster to Lima, home of a 183,000 barrels per day Cenovus Energy refinery. Number 3. Out of Lima, condensate can flow north on the Maumee Pipeline, 74% owned by Mid Valley Pipeline Company and 26% owned by Marathon's Hardin Street Holdings subsidiary, to PBF Energy's 173,000 barrels per day Toledo refinery and Cenovus 151,000 barrels per day refinery. Number 4. From Toledo, condensate can continue north on Maumee to MPLX's Samaria, Michigan tank farm, and from there to Detroit, where Marathon has a 140,000 barrels per day refinery. Number 5. Also from Lima, condensate can flow southwest on MPLX's Rio Pipeline to Robinson, Illinois, where Marathon has a 253,000 barrels per day refinery. There also are two legacy crude pipelines that transport condensate in Ohio, both of which are owned by Ergon Incorporated. The first is the Magnolia Pipeline, which runs from Magnolia, Ohio, 3 miles east of East Sparta, to Ergon's 22,000 barrels per day refinery in Newell, West Virginia. The other is the Ohio River Valley, or ORV, pipeline, which transports condensate from several truck unloading points to a pair of Ergon marine terminals on the Ohio River at Marietta, Ohio. There are several other marine terminals too, the most important being Marathon's Wellsville, Ohio facility, which barges significant volumes of condensate down the Ohio to Marathon's 300,000 barrels per day refinery in Catlettsburg, Kentucky. The Catlettsburg site also features a 35,000 barrels per day condensate splitter. Other terminals handling Utica shale condensate include Apex Oil's facility at Weirton, West Virginia, and Aero Material Services Terminal in Belpre, Ohio. Finally, several rail terminals in eastern Ohio receive and load truck-delivered condensate, including Midwest Terminals facility in Cadiz, Williams Companies in Skio, American Refining Group's near Mineral City, and Ergon's Black Run terminal near Newark, which can also receive condensate from Ergon's ORV pipeline. So, where is the condensate from eastern Ohio ending up? RBN estimates that about two-thirds of the entire Marcellus Utica's 160,000 barrels per day plus of current production, or about 100,000 barrels per day, is being piped or barged to Marathon's four refineries in the region: Canton, Ohio; Catlettsburg, Kentucky; Detroit, Michigan; and Robinson, Illinois, the first two of which have condensate splitters. As for the rest, some is trucked, railed, and or piped to regional refineries owned by others, Cenovus Lima and Toledo, PBF Toledo and Ergon Newell among them, and most of the rest is barged down the Ohio and Mississippi to Louisiana for blending with heavier crudes. Small amounts also are railed to East Coast, TAD 1, refineries, including American Refining's 11,000 barrels per day refinery in Bradford, Pennsylvania. A final note before we wrap up. As we've said, while most of the 160,000 barrels per day plus of condensate being produced in the Marcellus Utica is lighter condensate with an API value of 55 to 59 degrees, and often considerably higher, a small but increasing share of the Utica Shale's output is heavy condensate with an API of 52 or less. Regional refineries love heavy condensate, largely because it offers many of the qualities of WTI at a price usually several dollars per barrel lower than WTI. The problem is that eastern Ohio condensate is, as of now, intermingled, with lower API condensate being piped in the same stream as higher API volumes. That is starting to change thanks to early-stage efforts by MPLX and Ergon, both of which are adding and optimizing assets that will allow for the segregation of heavy and light condensate via pipeline, marine, and rail transportation methods. Check back with us in a few months for more on that. To sum up, as we said earlier in this series, the Utica Shale will never be another Permian or Eagle Ford or Bakken, at least from a crude oil perspective, but several E&Ps are excited about its prospects and planning to ramp up their condensate production there. We'll continue to monitor developments in the play to see how much production grows and, just as important, what midstream companies do to segregate heavy and light condensate and transport the superlight crude oil to market. Hit the Lights was written by James Hetfield and Lars Ulrich and first appeared as the 10th song on the June 1982 Metal Blade compilation release, Metal Massacre. The album was produced by Metal Blade founder and owner Brian Slagle. It also featured cuts by Los Angeles metal band Steeler Rat and Malice. Metallica's name was misspelled as Metallica on the label. Personnel on this version were James Hetfield, vocals, guitar; Lloyd Green, guitar; Ron McGovney, bass; and Lars Ulrich, drums. A second version of Hit the Lights appears as the first song on side one of Metallica's debut studio album, Kill 'Em All. Lead guitarist Dave Mustaine was replaced by Kirk Hammett as recording for Kill 'Em All commenced, but it is rumored he played lead guitar on this song. Credited personnel on the album were James Hetfield, vocals, rhythm guitar; Kirk Hammett, lead guitar; Cliff Burton, bass; and Lars Ulrich, drums. Kill 'Em All was recorded in May 1983 at Music America in Rochester, New York, and produced by Paul Curcio for Megaforce Records. Originally released in July 1983, the LP was re-released in 1988, when the band had four albums under its belt and a huge following. That time, the album went to number 120 on the Billboard 200 albums chart and has been certified 3X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Two singles were released from the LP. Metallica is an American heavy metal band formed in Los Angeles in 1981 by James Hetfield and Lars Ulrich, but based in the San Francisco Bay Area for most of its career. They are considered one of the pioneering groups of thrash metal along with Slayer, Anthrax, and Megadeth. They have released 11 studio albums, 8 live albums, 1 soundtrack album, 3 EPs and 49 singles, and have sold more than 125 million records worldwide. Metallica has won 2 American Music Awards, 5 Billboard Awards, 9 Grammy Awards, and 2 MTV Video Music Awards. They were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2009. 8 members have passed through the band since its formation. Band founders Hetfield and Ulrich, along with lead guitarist Kirk Hammett and bassist Robert Trujillo, continue to record and tour.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.